Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This week we have Bob Marley. He's at Helium this weekend. Check him out. Two shows Friday, January 30th. Two shows Saturday, January 31st. HeliumComedy.com. Click on the Philadelphia link. Other than that, we got a bunch of open mics we're going to start heading to and doing some random live stuff. But just stay tuned for all that. We got a new few other concepts on the way. So thanks for supporting us through all this. And hopefully we'll have much more content moving forward. But for now, just enjoy the show.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
And welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast. We have a very special guest on the line.
Let me introduce literally my favorite comedian alive right now, Bill Burr. How are you, Bill?
Hey, what's going on?
The one and only Rich Eisen.
Sports is a lot safer than Christian Mingle.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. I'm a Jew.
Without further ado, the one and only best-selling author, popular radio show host, Jim Norton.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. What a rookie I am. You're listing things, I just interrupt.
You know, I'm from The Man Show and Loveline. The godfather of podcasts himself, Adam Carolla.
Thanks for having me.
Very, very special guest. Used to be from Opie and Anthony, now from The Anthony Cumia Show. Anthony Cumia.
Look at that, what an intro. Jesus.
Smooth as silk.
Like, I thought I'd be on hold for the next segment while you talk to this wonderful person.
I was checking the specs on the end line for the rotary girder. I'm retarded.
And we're back. Welcome to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast episode. Are we on 72?
73.
No, we're on 75, actually, because we had Joe Staley last week. 75 is Howie Long. There's not even an argument about that. It's game, set, and match.
Now the greatest.
And one of the
five
of
them all.
Like, one of the,
I don't even know 75. Well, 75, actually.
Who was it? There was, oh, God. Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. Somebody named The House, who was a big lineman for the Bills. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Anyway. Not riveting by any means, but I'm sure there's some random hockey player with that number too, but and probably a baseball player because nobody pays attention to baseball players' numbers except for Jeter's. But anyway, we're back, episode 75. We're gonna make this first part fairly quick because we have Bob Marley calling in. For you people that are way out of the loop, it's not the dead Jamaican overrated singer. Sorry, I mean Jamaican singer.
I was hoping it was.
The overrated part slipped in there, I swear. Somebody took over my mic for a second. I was hacked, I tell you. Anyway, we have Bob Marley, the comedian. He's here at Helium in Philly all weekend. Not all weekend, but Friday and Saturday. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. The dude has, no joke, 28 or 29 albums. I'm not exaggerating at all.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, every year he just puts out a new one. He's a machine. Actually, twice a year he puts out a new one. He says there's like one is always geared towards Maine because that's where he's from, and then the other one's geared towards just comedy. It's like, because he references Cumberland Farms, and it's like that would be like referencing Wawa in your stand-up act. It's the same idea.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, we're gonna make this first part short. We're gonna get him in the mix. Make sure you check out HeliumComedy.com. Click on the Philadelphia links. There's two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, January 30th, January 31st, 2015. For those listening in Radio IO and Tune In and all those random ones that we're on. But that's about it. We'll come back. Me and Sheldon are going to talk about Deflategate, Marshawn Lynch. We'll make some Super Bowl predictions. Talk about the Saturday Night Live Bushwick spoof, which is friggin' my favorite. All-female Ghostbusters. Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. They're not involved with wife beatings or anything like that.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, that's a good point. Comcast sucks. Gwyneth Paltrow steamed vajayjay. And Kanye gives a free pass to the N-word. Those are our topics, and we will run down them all. But on the other side, Bob Marley, again, heliumcomedy.com, Philadelphia link. Check him out. January 30th, two shows, I think like 7:30 and 9:45, and then two shows on Saturday, January 31st. Like 8 o'clock and 10 or something like that. Great shows. He's seriously like a really, really funny dude. And he's the early shows will probably be somewhat all ages. But he's actually fun to kind of see him get loose and actually kind of push the limit a little. But he's one of those guys. He's like a Jim Gaffigan, Brian Regan type guy. He doesn't need to crossed the line of being PG-13 or R. He just kind of can nail it in a super clean way, which is really cool. Anyway, so he'll be on the other side. Check out his show. Then me and Shelton will come back and we'll start tickling your eardrums a little. Sports podcast. Very special guest on the line. Really excited to have him. I've been a huge fan of his comedy for a long time. I remember seeing him, I think he was on Mad TV doing a quick stand-up bit. I've seen him on Comedy Central. Obviously, Boondock Saints has really kind of put him on the map as far as everybody recognizing his face. And he's the only comedian I know that that references Cumberland Farms a lot in his act. One of my favorites, one of the best in the game, too, Bob Marley. How are you, Bob?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. The old Cumbies, dude. Cumberland Farms.
I love it. I used to live in Vermont, so I remember hearing all your routine a bunch, and I was always like, I don't think anybody else references it as much as you do. I love it.
Yeah, we give a shout out to the Cumbies with the interesting gene pool they got behind the counter. Unbelievable. We're up here. I'm in Maine right now, and I'm currently sitting on about 27 inches of snow.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine.
It was crazy, dude. Absolutely crazy. So we got pummeled by that. But, yeah, we're shoveling out, and I'm psyched to be going to Philly. Crank it up for the shows.
Yeah, we're excited to have you for sure. So it's, before I forget to plug it, it's two shows tomorrow night, Friday, and then two shows on Saturday. I can pretty much guarantee they're going to be a phenomenal show. So, you know, Bob's one of the best in the game. He's been doing lots of late night appearances in both Boondock Saints movies, for that matter. I'm curious on that side. Obviously, the accent didn't hurt you at all. But how did you kind of come across the Boondock Saints role?
I had a friend from Maine who was friends with the director, so we kind of had a mutual friend. And then he said to the director, he goes, "Oh, I got a guy that's perfect for this. You got to see him." And so he came to see me at like 1:30 in the morning over at the Laugh Factory. And, you know, everybody's hammered, and there's, like, probably 40 people in the room, and they're just sitting there staring at you, and, you know, somebody starts heckling me, and I'm just chewing them a new ass, you know, like, East Coast Irish style. I'm just like, what, don't be such a dink, and I'm just, like, hammering the guy, and then the director goes, you might be the guy. So he goes, come to my apartment. I go, okay. So he gave me the script, and then I read it, and then I never heard back from them for like 3 months.
Oh, wow.
And they went through a period where they were like dealing with the Weinsteins, you know, Harvey and Bob Weinstein, and they were going to do the movie, and then they had casting conflicts. Like, originally, I guess they wanted like Brad Pitt and some other guys in it, and which obviously wouldn't have hurt it, but right. The director didn't want to have anybody who was like, you know, who was already known, you know, with a stigma in a good way or a bad way. And so they fought about it, and then he finally wrangled the rights back from them, and then he called me like 3 months later. He goes, "Hey, do you still want to do this?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "All right, come down tomorrow." And so I go down there, and this guy's like an Irish guy from New Hampshire. And so I'm in his living room. And he goes, "You want to read it?" And I go, "Yeah." And it was like three pages. And he goes, "You need it?" I go, "I don't need a script. I got it." And it was because of the big, long dialogue.
Right.
And I did. And he goes, just staring at me, smoking a cigarette. And he goes, "Yeah, you're the guy."
That's awesome.
I go, "Are you kidding me?" Because, you know, I had auditioned for a million TV shows and movies. And you jump through so many hoops and you come close on so many different projects. That, you know, it's nothing short of completely discouraging, because I like to act, but I'm not, like, I didn't move out to L.A. to act. I just moved out to get, you know, do more stand-up stuff, get on TV more with my stand-up. And then when you get out there, everyone's like, you should be an actor. And I'm like, really? I'm like, okay. And then you get sucked into it for like 5 years. You're like, yeah, I'm an actor. That's what I'm. And then you wake up one day and you go, I'm not an actor. What the hell am I doing? I'm supposed to be telling jokes, you know? So I'll do it if I get asked to do it, but, you know, I'm okay at it. I like to do it, and obviously those two movies were just an absolute blast, and I got tons of screen time in both of them, so I actually got, you know, better at it as I went along, but yeah. That's kind of how I got the part.
Very cool. What was it like working with William Dafoe? That had to be nuts.
He's awesome. He's super cool guy, you know, like if it was your close up, you know, a lot of big stars will do their stuff first, and then sometimes they would even just leave for the day.
Yeah.
Like, all right, they covered me, but he would stay, and if he knew it was your close up, he'd come running out of the trailer and like be on the other side of the camera for you and do the lines opposite you. And like, I mean, he's just unbelievably nice guy and like so talented. Like we would do 9 or 10 different takes on the same scene. And in my head, I'm going, oh my God, this guy's changing it every time. It's like a different, he's giving a different read every time. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, I don't really have that in my wheelhouse. I've got one or two ways that I'm doing it, and that's about it. But this guy would just change stuff. You're like, okay, well, that's why he's been nominated 3 times, you know, and that's why I was at the Chuckle Hut in Omaha 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He's great, though. Awesome guy. Wicked nice guy.
Yeah, that's great. That's I could definitely see that. He seems to be really dedicated to everything. So I'm just curious, because I know a good amount of your albums, but I, every time I've looked it up, I feel like there's a million of them. How many albums have you put out, whether it's DVDs or CDs?
You know, it's really weird, because a lot of my comedian friends, like if I go to the Montreal Comedy Festival and stuff like that, once you start headlining, you basically don't ever see any of your friends anymore. So it's like you start with a whole group of guys, and I started in Boston with, like, you know, Bobby Kelly and Dane Cook and Patrice O'Neill and Billy Burr and, you know, all these guys. And then, you know, once you start headlining, you never see each other again. But when you go to Montreal at the comedy festival, you see all these guys. And so inevitably, every time we see these guys, they're like, how many albums you got now, Molly? Like 45? And I remember Greg Fitzsimmons once told me, he goes, hey, you know, you don't have to record every joke you do. but basically, like, you know, provincially up here in northern New England, I got a really good following. So what happened is I would put an album out, and I'd sell like 30,000 copies of it.
Oh, wow.
So then I'm like, well, that went pretty good. And then I'm like, well, like, maybe I'll do another one. So I would just continue to write and work all year, and then record another one, and I'd sold another 30, 40. You know, I've had a couple albums where I've sold 100,000 copies, you know?
Wow.
So then I'm like, amazing. All right, well, I'm just going to keep going. So I got to be honest, I don't even know, but I'm guessing it's around 28 or something like that now.
That's amazing.
So for like 5 or 6 years in a row, we were putting out two a year. So, you know, yeah, so they're all on my website. I actually haven't counted them yet, but there's a lot of them.
That's awesome.
And people, you know, my comedy friends are like, how can that be? And I'm like, dude, I'm not saying every album that I recorded is, like, ready for a Grammy. I'm just saying that, you know, people like them, they're amused by them. And I think there's probably, like, 15, 20 really, really good minutes on every album. And then there's some current event stuff, and then there's, like, you know, provincially there's stuff up here in northern New England, that stuff that happens that people up here, only people from this area really would get, you know. So that's kind of like the formula, you know what I mean? But, I just keep putting them out.
That's awesome. Now, with the main thing, I was going to ask you, are you 100% based out of there now? Or, I mean,
I live in Maine. I moved back here, like, I lived in Los Angeles for 11 years, and then when we started having kids, I moved back to Maine. I tell everybody I want my kids to have what I had, which is horrible weather and no money. So we came back like 9 years ago, almost 10 years ago, and we love it up here. It's great, you know. I was in L.A. along, you know, 11 years, so I had a great opportunity to get on a ton of different TV shows, like doing stand-up on a ton of shows and really getting a resume built up. And so now I'm kind of like at the point where it's like, well, what else would I do if I was still out there? I mean, short of just getting more and more roles and stuff like that, but I really love doing stand-up, so it's kind of like, you know, I wanted to be out doing what I'm supposed to be doing and not chasing stuff in Hollywood, you know, because it's a completely different game out there. You're not really doing stand-up. Every night you're on stage, and then, you know, you're at risk every time you're running new material because you never know if there's somebody from a network in the back of the room or something like that. So, you know, you're kind of like, it's stifling, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I love about living up here. I kind of just do my own thing. I got my own, you know, situation up here, and then I'm on the road too, which I love doing. So it's great to go to these clubs and tear it up around the country, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of the best of both worlds. You get to hop on a plane and tell jokes, but still come back to you know, to not LA.
Yeah, some kind of sane life, you know. We like we got 2.5 feet of snow up here two days ago, and we went skiing all day yesterday, me and all my kids and everybody, my wife, we were up there tearing it up all day. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. It's a blast, you know.
Very cool. Good deal. Cool. So what are you right now just on a nonstop touring thing, or do you have anything else going on the side that you're
Yeah, I've just been touring and that's it really. I'm thinking about putting together another TV spot. I did Jimmy Fallon not so long ago and that was awesome. And, you know, I want to get back on, but, you know, it's hilarious because you look at the schedule, it's like, this week, Moses, Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, seriously. It's like, okay, let's wait for things to cool down a little bit, and then I'll try to resubmit. So it's fun to do those TV spots, but they, you know, they kind of just rape your current set. Whatever set you're doing, you know, you're taking the best stuff from the beginning, middle, and end of your 45, 50-minute set that you're currently doing when you go and do a TV spot. And then, you know, so that's basically all gone, and then you got to start over again. So, and those TV spots, you don't, there's not as many eyeballs on those as it used to be, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, I know a handful of, you know, I did stand-up for a while, and I know some guys that I started with, they would get on, and, you know, whatever it might have been, whether there was a... Yeah, what's his name?
It's great. I mean, they're awesome. I mean, I'm totally glad that I've done them.
Right.
I think Jimmy Kimmel's like the only one I haven't done, but they don't do for you like what they used to in the 70s or 80s. Like you hear those stories, like I went on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and the next morning I couldn't even walk down the street.
Yeah, he invited me over to the couch.
Yeah, it's like I've done 100 TV shows, and when I go to another city, I'm like, I'm completely fine. I don't need any security or anything. I mean, I do. I'll get people at the airport that'll stare at me. One lady came up to me in Detroit, and she goes, "Are you somebody?" I go, "Well, everybody's somebody." And she goes, "No, you look like somebody." And I go, "I'm a comedian, and this, yeah, that's what it is." And I was like, "Okay, thanks."
Yeah, I know.
For confirming that.
I think that's thanks. I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
Awesome, Bob. Thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man.
So, two shows tomorrow night, January 30th. Two shows on the 31st at Helium Comedy Club in Philly, heliumcomedy.com. Click on the Philly link. Going to be great shows. I'm sure you'll fill the place up. Really looking forward to having you
yeah,
here in Philly,
totally,
man.
Yeah, pumped to be there. It should be a blast. It's a great club. It's down on Samsung, and it's... You know, every year I go, I change my set, like most all of it. So if you've seen me before, come on down, and because I change it all the time. And as long as I have problems, I have jokes, and I have a lot of problems.
Nice. Awesome. I got I definitely have a buddy going to one of the shows, so I'll make sure
awesome.
He swings
Thanks,
out and says
man.
Hi. All right. No problem, man. And I'll send you are you on Twitter, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I'm Twitter. It's Bob Marley Comedy on Twitter and Facebook.
Cool. I'll send you a quick note once it's up. I would assume either tonight or first thing tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's great, man. Thanks for doing this.
No problem. Thank you, Bob, man.
Okay,
have a good one.
Well.
Take care.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Welcome back to episode 75, Howard something. Oh, God, it's going to kill me. Howard Cross, does that sound right? Anyway, welcome back to episode 75, Howie Long. We want to thank Bob Marley for calling in. Apparently, by the way, his dad had never heard of Bob Marley or knew who Bob Marley was when he named him. When he named that. His name's like Robert Cochran Marley II or something like that. And he's got the coolest resume because he lives where he wants to live. He sells out shows all over the country, basically only needs to do Friday and Saturday. Got a stupid amount of albums that he's made tons of money off because he's got a diehard following in New England. He started off with Burr and Rob Bobby Kelly and Patrice and all them, so he's got that side to him. And then he's been in two movies, Boondock Saints and Boondock Saints 2. Like, what else do you need? Nailed it. And he's living in freaking Maine. Can't beat it.
I wouldn't want to live in Maine. That's the worst part.
Well, yeah, he's from there, though, so like, it's his choice. I guess he gets to live where he wants to, is my point. He said there's literally 27 inches of snow right now there. But anyway, so we obviously want to thank him for calling in. He was awesome, as always. Not as always, because it's the first time he's been on here, but great shows. HeliumComedy.com, Philadelphia link. January 30th, two shows. January 31st, two shows. 2015. So let's get on to the podcast episode, now that we got all the fun plugs out of the way.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start? Dealer's choice.
Let's start with Deflategate because of the bullshit behind it.
Deflategate. Yes.
Yeah.
I want to hear your opinion because I already have a strong one about it.
I think it's bullshit. I think they should be... they should forfeit the game and Indianapolis should move forward. You know why?
It's the Super Bowl. We can't have Indianapolis playing in it, but I hear what you're saying.
I mean, at this point, it's their own fault for, you know, fucking it up. But it's they were showing this, the statistician who does, he's a bookie. Basically, he did numbers, and the Patriots fumble like 0.3%. Like 0.3 times less than the average team. So even the average dome team there's only a differential of like one fumble or less between them all. And then the Patriots, for some reason, fumble between 3 and 4 times less than the average team in the NFL, including dome teams, which if you're playing in fucking New England in the middle of winter, you're going to fumble the ball. But, you know, if it's deflated, you can hold on to it. So I'm just tired. The problem I got is they always, it's always something with the Patriots. You know what I mean? Like, it's like that little kid in school. You know the kid's a badass kid because it's always something with him. You might not catch him all the time, but it's always something with that little fucker. Like, that's how they are.
Oh, God, I have such the opposite mentality. See, my thing is 100% fine him, 100% take a draft pick away, whatever you need to do. But my thing is, A, LeGarrette Blount's legs weren't deflated. Tackle him.
No.
Can you tackle him, please?
They weren't going to win that game.
Yeah.
The Colts weren't going to win that game. But the Patriots, the Ravens might have.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know what I mean, like, if you're talking about one or two plays away, that has something to do with it. But that's why
Flacco's not the lead quarterback, because if he would have threw that last pass up with a deflated ball, it would have been caught for a touchdown.
It would have been way easier for Torrey Smith to catch it.
It's that damn Delaware education. It's too honest.
Yeah, that's what happens, man.
Send him somewhere shady like Michigan.
Yeah.
The whole situation cracks me up, and it turns out that it sounds like they have pretty strong video footage of some equipment manager disappearing into a bathroom.
Even Costas came out today and said that the interview that he did with Brady, that's only going to come out on Super Bowl, of course. He says he asked Tom Brady, you know, are you going to be basically exonerated? And Tom Brady said, we'll have to see how it plays out, as opposed to before when he's saying, I had no knowledge of it, nothing to do with it. And so, you know, I mean, it's going to come out. They're going to find him something or whatever else. I don't think they're going to win anyway, but the problem is it's like, all right, you were going to, like Richard Sherman said, you were going to suspend Marshawn Lynch for gold shoes that have no tactical advantage whatsoever, except for looking gaudy.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead, they deflate the balls as a decision because you're playing in rain, and you're only going to take a draft pick from the whole entire team, and then that's about it. I mean, come on. Like, if they suspend Marshawn Lynch, that changes the whole game. If you suspend Tom Brady, it changes the whole game. So why wouldn't they do the same thing? But, you know, like Sherman said, man, Kraft is in fucking Goodell's pocket. Goodell needs to just go, man, at this point. Like, he's another one. He's an idiot. He doesn't realize the perception of the league is getting ruined because of him.
Oh, I totally agree with that, yeah. No, I agree with that. My thing is, it's the whole, like, Deflategate thing has been going on forever, and I don't buy into the fact one bit that none of these other quarterbacks do it and did it all the time. And, like, you know, what Brad Johnson said, he paid 7 G's for somebody to do Super Bowl.
I think it's definitely more common than they're letting on. But my point is, I think that it's also, they deflate the balls a little more than just 0.2 PSI. You know what I mean? Like, if other players are noticing it, then they're doing it more than what was said. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they were, in that article I read, Julian Edelman, when he was with the Rams, fumbled 11 times in, like, a 3-year span. Since he's been with the Patriots, he's only fumbled once since 2006. So it's like, all right, clearly he was fumbling with the Rams. All of a sudden, Belichick came with the greatest way for him not to fumble anymore. I mean, come on, man.
It's because Sam Bradford was hanging him out to dry over the middle every time.
Yeah,
exactly. Brady knows how to throw an accurate ball.
Yeah. No, he was fumbling the ball. It wasn't just an interception, although, you know,
no, I mean, he was catching it and then getting lit up.
Yeah, getting lit up.
Yeah, I hear you. My thing is, like, it's all way blown out of proportion when the Patriots are involved, and it's fine. Like, I agree that there should be some punishment. I don't like the argument that Tom Brady's thrown into the Spygate thing and then Belichick's thrown into the Deflategate thing, because I don't think either of them had anything to do with either of them.
One is not the same as the other.
Yeah.
The ball is clearly on Brady because you're the quarterback. You touch every single ball on that field except for the kicking ball.
Yeah.
Which, of course, when you have 11 out of 12 balls, well, guess which one's probably the kicking ball. And then, of course, you know, you have a quarterback who prefers a certain way, and you make $65 million, you damn well have a ball boy who you know you've slipped a couple $1,000s every season to say, hey, look, this is how I want you to make sure everything is taken care of. And then they were pointing out, too, how in 2006, Brady and Manning were the two who were championing the whole, we get to bring our own team ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I did know that, yeah.
Yeah, and so ever since 2006, that's when all their statistics started being severely skewed on fumbles and everything else. So, I mean, it's like there's too much smoke for it not to be fire there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah, for me, it's like there's a few kind of schools of thought. I mean, my biggest thing is, like, just not have the players, or just not have, you know, have a third party bring them in. I don't even trust the refs, so bring a third party bring them in.
At the beginning of the game, they bring in, you know, a certain, you know, Goldman Sachs brings in a fucking sack of balls.
Goldman Sachs.
You know what I mean? They do the Oscars, everything else.
Yeah,
Goldman Sachs holds onto a stack of balls and bring them in, you know, 5 minutes before the game starts. I mean, they can practice and do whatever doing pregame, but then you bring these balls in somewhere from the stadium in a crate. Each team gets their own crate, and then boom, you got your...
Yeah, and you should be able to say, like, if 12.5 is the minimum, you should be able to say, I wanted a 12.5, or I wanted a 13.5. Yeah. You know, like, people that have big hands, who cares? They don't really care about it, but yeah.
Exactly. But my thing is, you know, it's... If this isn't such a big deal, then why are they letting it become a big deal? If they really didn't care this much, then why would they go through all this bullshit phony investigation? If you want to let someone cheat, then let them cheat. You know what I mean? Like, it's not – it makes no sense for you to sit here and make a big deal about it and then come out and say later on, oh, yeah, we found that out, that they were cheating, because the public perception is going to be that you did it in favor of the Patriots, who, of course, have been winning for years – you know, and Brady has been the prodigal son for everybody. So it just makes no sense, man. dumb as shit.
Yeah. My thing is, I'm almost like more annoyed by it because A, they were gonna go to the Super Bowl this year one way or another, and B, I mean, especially the AFC Championship game, that wasn't even in question. Especially since the second half they played with the other ones, they didn't even play with the deflated ones, and that's when they crushed them anyway. But I get annoyed when people have any sort of taint on their record when it's, you know, when they're gonna be awesome. And it was like, you know, Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds were the same way. I was like, well, you guys are fucking Hall of Famers. Like, not even a question about it already.
Why are you juicing it up?
Now, Bonds was like a 3-time MVP before he started, or 5-time MVP before he started hitting all those home runs. It annoyed me more than anything. But
yeah, exactly. But that's my point with it, is that you're already in the AFC East. You're guaranteed 6 wins a season.
Yeah, and you're playing the fucking Colts at home, by the way. Like, let's just call it what it is. I mean, you're not going to struggle to beat them up.
No. I mean, especially when the Colts have no defense and have no running game either.
Yeah, and for that matter, no real wide receivers if you don't count T.Y., but...
Yeah. Do you see they did what they did to Richardson? By suspending him during the playoffs, he didn't hit his escalators and his claws to get full $3.4 million.
Yep.
That's fucking dirty, man.
Yeah.
And when you couple that with how they treated Manning, it's kind of like, damn, I wouldn't even want to go play for them.
I know, it's tough. They're freaking cutthroat.
But the owner can be drunk driving, he's okay.
Yeah. Isn't he mildly racist, too? Is that true, or just cocaine?
I don't know. Yeah, cocaine, that's what it was. What surprised me. He looks like that sleazy dude.
It was,
like, what? They say it in the rap songs?
Yeah, exactly. It was coke. That's what I was thinking of, but yeah. You see they're gonna fine Marshawn for wearing his hat?
That's a dumb shit. And the dude has already admitted he has social anxiety disorder. Why do you keep fucking with him? You know what I mean? It's like they make him a target purposely.
Yeah. So my thing is, like, I get the argument that, like, you know, he should have to do some sort of press conference because it's that slippery slope where everybody will just be an exception to the rule.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you got to just let him say nothing. Like, you just got to get him past that.
Here's my thing. If he's got to do a press conference, make him do a press conference with Chris Collinsworth, Bob Costas, those guys.
Yeah.
Something where it's organized. You give him his time to get ready. You know, he's not in a situation where he's going to be uncomfortable.
He was in the league, the show, the league.
That's what I mean. Like, but that's a scripted show. You know, he's probably offset the entire time until he had to do what he had to do, and then probably went back on set for it. So give the dude, make him do his, you know, 3 or 4 interviews with, you know, Bonnie, whatever her name is, and Costas and Chris Collinsworth, and then let the dude go. I mean, he clearly is not going to. He's going to keep antagonizing the press.
Mm-hmm.
You look like an idiot for threatening to fine him and then making him sit there and then say the same thing 29 times.
Yeah,
come on. It's like a child. It's like you keep doing the same thing to a child, and he's going to keep doing the same thing because he's annoyed. You're annoyed, and you're just fighting him for no reason.
I love that he had the hat he wore. He wasn't even supposed to wear that hat, but B, he put it on his site, and it literally said, hat worn during press conference at the Super Bowl.
I didn't see that. That's awesome.
Like, it was such a... That's why they're thinking about finding him, is because it was such a blatant, like, I'm using this for my own publicity type thing.
And you know, it's so fucked up because that's the thing. He's intelligent, clearly. But they're putting him in the position where he needs to be a dick, where he's going to be a dick.
Yeah, exactly. There's no real win for him.
There's no win, because if he gives in to them, everyone's like, oh, dude, you're a sucker. You know what I mean? Like, you're an idiot. Why would you give in to that? And then so if he doesn't, though, they're going to fine the hell out of him. $500,000, that's ridiculous. Like, when you even think about that in context of anything, I mean, $500,000 for not talking.
Oh, yeah, it's nuts.
Come on, dude. Like, their salaries are already ridiculous enough, but when you start throwing around ridiculous numbers like $500,000 to fine somebody for not talking, it's like you're just playing with money and you don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Joe, did you see Kevin Hart's Bushwick Brooklyn spoof?
Yeah, that
was one of my favorite freaking sketches ever. You know that place up on Bushwick? Oh, you mean Keith's? No, I'm talking about that artisanal mayonnaise place. You know?
Yeah, the mayonnaise place.
I shot his ass. Man, I ain't paying $8.99 for fucking mayonnaise, man.
I have my bitches. You ain't got no bitches. You my dog walking.
I built that shit up, yo. I love when, I think it was Keenan that said the line. It was towards Jay, though. He was like, man, you act like somebody putting gluten in your muffins.
Yeah, it's like putting gluten in your muffin or something. Did you see the other skit that he had where Jay Farrell was imitating him? He was supposed to be his son?
Oh, no, I gotta check that out.
You gotta see it. It was like one of the last skits, but the one chick who's gonna be in Ghostbusters, I forget her name.
Leslie Jones?
Yeah, she's terrible.
Big and loud, that's all she needs to do.
Yeah, they put her on as a stereotype, and they have the other chick for actual, like, parts. But she's his mom or whatever, so she walks in with him, and Kevin Hart's like, check it out, I don't know how that's my kid. And then Jay Farrell does exactly what he does. I mean, he's dead on with his impression of him.
That's awesome.
It was actually pretty funny. I was like, God damn, that dude, man, he can do anybody. Like, he that dude just does anybody.
Oh, he's phenomenal. He's a freaking kid, too. He's like 26 years old.
Yeah,
it's nuts,
yeah,
man.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. What I already know is going to be probably an uncomfortable conversation. What do you think about the all-female Ghostbuster Redux by Paul Feig?
I'm tired of it, man. I'm tired of them redoing the same goddamn movies. You know what? I finally saw, and we interviewed her, and so she's on my Facebook, Erica Inez. She had one of the funniest fucking previews for a movie I've ever seen in my life. It's called like Marshall Fury or something like that. It's a karate movie that is literally just pure nonsense. Like, the dude is a cop who ends up getting kicked off the force, and he has to go back and fight the Führer, the karate Führer, who is Hitler, as a karate master. But he goes too far back in time, so he goes back to the Viking Age, and somehow they have guns and they ride dinosaurs. That's the kind of shit that needs to come out now, because redoing Ghostbusters makes no fucking sense with women. Like, there was one woman in the whole movie before, and Sigourney Weaver, and she got banged, so whatever. And
yeah, then, isn't she a... Oh, no, I'm thinking of the other one. I'm thinking of Jamie Lee Curtis. I was going to say, isn't she a Hermaphy?
No. That's Jamie Lee Curtis. But she's pointless in the movie other than to be taken over by the ghost. And the only reason they're doing it is because Harold Ramis died. And that's the only reason they're making it. They're going to, you know, reboot it, because Bill Murray, you know, was hesitant to do the other one. And so they're going to reboot it with women, because Ramis is dead, so you can't do it again without all four of them.
Right.
They're looking for a money grab.
Yeah, exactly. My thing is, like, I don't really care that it's women. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't care.
I just don't want to see it. Like, if you watch it again now, it's actually a horrible movie. So, like,
yeah,
why would it be good now?
If you watch any 80s movie now, there's nothing good about those movies. I watch any of the Arnold movies. I watched Commando a couple days ago.
Oh, God, it's horrible.
Fucking terrible.
You know what really sucked, by the way? And I did not think it was going to suck 30 years later. Predator is fucking horrible.
Oh, it's terrible. It's
I mean,
terrible.
Like, his quasi-accent, pretend to be some, like, old army vigilante, and then...
Yeah, it's terrible. And the whole premise that they're this, like, elite team who's getting picked off by this Predator is terrible, because they just make tons of mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
But, on a side note, that's the only movie you'll ever watch with two governors in it.
Oh, yeah, who's the other one? Schwarzenegger. Yeah. I knew Ventura. I didn't even think about Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, Schwarzenegger.
I don't even count him.
No, you can't. California doesn't count.
I was in Predator.
I was in the Predator. I know snipers. I'm not worried about what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. I sued David, whatever his name is, or Chris, whatever his name
Chris
is,
Kyle.
Who's the American.
Chris Kyle, because he said he punched me in the face.
Yeah.
That's not true at all.
Yeah. I was at the SEAL bar, all right? I don't get punched in the face.
I don't get punched in the face. I'm a goddamn SEAL. Yeah, I just don't agree with all these reboots of movies. I mean, how bad is your writing talent that all you have to do is walk in and be like, listen, here's what we're going to do. Remake another movie from the 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
Hear me out. All-female cast.
Yeah, totally.
That'll make it.
We'll get a good director, though, so that'll save the day.
Yeah, what was Exodus. Was that what it's called? With Christian Bale and the all-white cast in Egypt?
Oh, wow, I don't even know. That one.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to look that one up.
The one, was that?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was just like a month ago. Yeah,
yeah, it's like it just came out, but they just reasoned with it. Like, hey, we can't sell to America with fucking Muslim people, so we're gonna make Christian Bale Moses and some other white dude a Pharaoh.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Yeah, that shit was bomb. Hilarious. Yeah. So Manny and Pretty Boy Floyd are finally going to fight, I hear.
Yeah, they say it, but I don't see it happening. I mean, at this point, Floyd is holding out because he doesn't want Bob Arum to see any money off of it. And Pacquiao, I think, is so far in debt to Bob Arum that he has to basically kowtow to whatever he wants. So it's if it happens, there has to be a guarantee for three fights.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. And that's what they said. That's what's kind of holding it up. So Pacquiao's already got it booked for like December or something like that for the fight, or maybe it was September, but
Mayweather has a May 2nd one booked.
Yeah.
And there's really, I mean, honestly, Pacquiao's a shot fighter at this point. He's not what he was when it would have mattered, but because there's no one else to fight Mayweather.
Yeah, it's annoying because Mayweather fights have sucked for 5, 6, 7, maybe 7 years now, give or take.
I mean, he's far above any other talent that's out there right now, and so
yeah, and nobody cares about boxing enough to like actually like get somebody to train somebody up to get them to even get in the ring to make sense.
No, I mean, there's when the dude is undefeated, there's no one you can get to fight him. I mean, he's actually bad for boxing because he is so untouchable.
Yeah, yeah. It's just annoying. I'm just annoyed that they couldn't fight at their peaks. That's what really annoys me.
But they could have. The problem was like Floyd was saying, why does Pacquiao get any of the money? If Floyd loses, people want to see a rematch. If Pacquiao loses, then it's on to the next guy who everyone's going to say, oh, he could possibly beat Floyd. Floyd was the draw to the whole thing. He always has been. He's the draw to the whole thing. His zero, his undefeated record is the draw to the whole thing.
Yeah, well, like Pacquiao was at his prime, though, and he filled up the Cowboys stadium, and that's when it should have happened, because they were both monsters at the time.
Yeah, but the thing is, too, though, if he loses, there's no clamoring for a second one. You know what I mean? And unless it's extremely close. But if Mayweather loses, everyone's going to say, oh, he had off day. It's his first loss. You got to give him a chance to avenge it. That's two fights for them. You know what I mean? That's $80 million. But Pacquiao wanted even split. Why would I split evenly with you when you've already got two losses? You take the money in the first one. You take what I give you in the first one. And if you win, then we talk about splitting.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but I think it's a shitty way to the fans lose when it comes down to it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
at that time, Pacquiao was still undefeated at that time, back when he was fighting in the King Cowboys.
He lost early in his career, and then
no, he didn't.
He lost twice early in his career, and then all of a sudden, when his head got large, he started beating everybody like Barry Bonds. So, I mean, I believe the dude juiced too, and that's another reason if I was Mayweather, I wouldn't fight him either, because he's not ever going to come out and figure out if he really did or not. And so if he doesn't figure it out and he loses, it looks terrible. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to look bad. But if he does come out finally and say, well, I was vindicated because we found out he was juicing,
yeah,
then you know, he had a reason not to fight him.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't know. I think they both just get in the ring. I don't give a shit who's doing
what. Yeah, I mean, if you're a fighter, you fight.
I think
that's my thing. You're
take
fighter,
the gloves off,
fight.
For that matter, and just fucking go at it.
Yeah, if you're a fighter, you just fight. I mean, shit, that's what you're paid to do, and you're paid a lot of money to do it. Just fight whoever the fuck is in front of you.
Right, exactly. No, I completely agree. So we got three more. We'll wrap it up. Did you see Comcast changed a customer's name to asshole on their bill?
No. I didn't see that. I heard about it, but I didn't get to check it.
Yeah, they called up and apparently bitched about their bill, and it went on. And when they got their, like, they canceled, and when they finally got their bill, apparently the Comcast person changed their billing name to asshole.
My big thing with that, man, is how big and powerful is Comcast that they can have such bad customer service time and time again, and they still have all this money. It's not like they're at all in jeopardy of losing anything, including the big building downtown that they're building. You know what I mean? Like,
they own everything.
They own everything, yeah. I mean, they have fucking stadium. They own... their hand is in everything. It's the whole cable, Wi-Fi, and all that shit, the whole market is just... It's a monopoly right now for Verizon,
yeah,
Turner Broadcasting, and Comcast, and they own everything. So
they own NBC, too, which is ridiculous.
Which is crazy, because you would think that the government would see that as a conflict of interest. How do you provide TV, and yet you are a TV station? You know what I mean? Like, you provide all the content.
That was like in 30 Rock when they mentioned they own NBC, and she was like, Tina Fey was like telling Alec Baldwin, she's like, doesn't that seem like a conflict? And he's just like, shh, quiet down, little lemon. Quiet down.
And then they did
All right, I think we got cut out there for a second.
Yeah.
So Gwyneth Paltrow recommends steaming your vajayjay.
I wish you would just die. She just is such an annoying person at this point in time.
Yeah.
I'm tired of seeing celebrities who think that their shit doesn't stink and all that. They just talk.
Well, that's because they steam it. That's because they steam the vajayjays.
What does that even mean?
I don't even know. I couldn't even read the article. It's just like when their whole like divorce with Chris Martin came out and everybody was judging her for being shitty and blah, blah, blah. I didn't even read it. I was just kind of like, I pretty much already guessed she was shitty, so I don't really need to, go any deeper.
Yeah, I don't need to read into this. She's a shitty person. And she comes from money. She has a shit ton of money, and then she judges people who don't have money. So, why do I need to deal with her?
By the way, everybody at home, sorry for all the clicking. I have my mouse right next to the phone. I always forget about that. Or next to the mic, I should say. All right, so we'll close it out in style. Kanye West is given a free pass on the N-word, apparently.
I don't give a hell what he does. He's another one. That dude should just fucking run onto a train track and die, too.
Yeah.
There should be a limit to creative people being able to say shit in public.
Yeah, it's true. That's like Adam Carolla had the idea for porn on your computer is you hit like a certain limit and then it shuts off for a certain amount. You can't check out porn for a certain amount of time. That's like totally should be talking for certain people,
And he's like Paltrow, Kanye West.
He's like top of the list too. I think he'd be number one.
Yeah, he's definitely number one.
It's like, oh, you compared yourself to Jesus again. Okay, cool. Just checking.
Yeah.
Just made a joke, still the plan.
The worst thing that happened to him was his mom dying because there's no one to keep that kid grounded anymore. It's fucking ridiculous. When he's trying to justify that, he was like, white girls don't just go after black dudes' money. My girl dated broke black dudes, too. See, when you say broke, you're talking about...
You're talking about Brandy's younger brother.
Yeah, you're talking about in context of you. Still more money than the average dude. She's not going down to fucking the courthouse and meeting some dude while she's there, while she's there paying a ticket, being like, hey, you look like a good guy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. For those of you at home, Sheldon's black, so he's allowed to make that stereotype.
Yeah, exactly.
Going down to the courthouse.
I got this.
Like, I do not support or advocate any of these comments.
Yeah.
Black Lives Matter.
About, I've been saying with my fiance that the views expressed by Sheldon are not necessarily shared by her.
it's going to be part of the wedding vows.
it might have to be, actually. Views expressed by Sheldon are not necessarily shared by Maggie. But, yeah, it's that dude, man, he's another one I wish you could just say. He's number one behind Joe Buck.
If I saw that in public,
I'd punch him in the face.
Punch Joe Buck in his gigantic forehead.
Yeah, Joe Buck.
Receding hairline. Yeah, he was on Jay Moore's podcast, and I was kind of like, yeah, he's kind of cool. I take everything back that I said.
I cannot.
All right, so we'll wrap things up with the obvious. We got a few ways of doing it here. We're going to do some prop bets. So let me get them going here first. First, let's just pick the... Come on, stop freezing up on me. There we go. So who do you got winning first off? It sounds like you already
got Seattle.
You got Seattle. Yeah. What do you got for over-under?
Over-under, I would say 44.
44.
Over.
I think the over, or sorry, I shouldn't say over-under. I think the over-under was higher than that. Let me check real quick. Shit. Super Bowl 15 line. Yeah, money's going heavy on the Patriots, by the way, recently. The spread went back down to even. It came out, initially came out with Seattle, like, up 3.5.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. All right, we'll go through these prop bets while we're trying to find that. Which team will score the game's first touchdown?
I think it'll probably be Patriots.
All right. Oh, who and then who on the Patriots will get it?
Fuck if I know. I don't know any of their receivers. other than Gronkowski, I don't know anyone on the team except for LeGarrette Blount. Did you see that? Now they're saying that he might have been tampered with also.
What did he get tampered with?
His ranks were Pittsburgh's, and so he purposely did all that shit so he would get cut by Pittsburgh and go back to New England.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and they said, they were asking him questions, and he had this fucking sheepish grin on his face. He's like, no, that never happened. You know what I mean? Like, at this point, the Patriots just know they're fucking untouchable. You know what I mean? Goodell probably has a room in Kraft's mansion. By the way, can I say how much of a douchebag Kraft is? Did you see the fucking 22-year-old looking girl he had on his arm?
No, how to replace his wife.
Look at the picture where he's with Goodell. He's got this little fucking tiny arm candy on his arm, and you're like, well, your wife just died from cancer last year. Maybe you were feeding her plutonium to get this little piece, you know, on the side.
Plutonium, that's awesome. That's hilarious. So I think it's back to even. Maybe the Patriots are 1-point favorites. 47.5 is the spread.
Yeah.
I mean, not the spread, the over-under. Are you calling over or under?
I would go under, I think.
Yeah, usually under is a safe bet for the Super Bowl, but I'm actually going to go over. I think it's going to, like, start off slow and then get out of control.
Yeah. It all depends what the defense does. If they pick off Brady once, then I think it could get completely out of control.
Yeah, I got this weird feeling that it's going to be an ass-whooping one way or the other. I don't think it's going to be close for whatever reason.
I think they're actually in Brady's head more than people think. And
Definitely.
I mean, I think he's, I mean, number one, Tom Brady is only as good as his line. And their linebackers and their corners are so fucking fast.
Yeah.
And their safeties hit like trucks.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would not be surprised to see Edelman and people like that get laid out and then come to get a little gun shy.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I mean, if he takes one good hit, Brady usually starts getting flustered.
Yeah.
And once Sherman's in your head and Sherman flies around the way he does and Chancellor flies around knocking people out, it gets ugly, man.
By the way, next year the Raiders will ridiculously overpay for Maxwell, and he's a below average cornerback in my eyes if he's not on Seattle. And then they're gonna pay the max for Sue. Calling it right now.
I don't think they will. I think I think someone in that organization is finally getting smart, man. I think they have to go. I'm holding out hope. See, this is exactly why I'm a Raiders fan, because I'm typical.
I'm the one who's like, yeah, no, MJD, that should work out for you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like the Eagles fan. You know? Yeah. No, we're gonna go up and get Mariota, then we're going right to the goddamn Super Bowl.
My argument against that is very simple, by the way. It's not even that you shouldn't do it. Like, go for it. If you can do it, go for it. Whatever. Like, Chip Kelly gets his guy. If it fails, everybody goes. If it succeeds, great. Everybody's a genius.
Yep.
But why, like, so let's hypothetically say Winston goes first, because it seems like that's going
to
be...
Yeah, he's going to go to Tennessee.
Stay in Florida. Tampa's first, so...
You know, he's going to Tampa, yeah.
Yeah, stay in Florida, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
So, you know, most likely Mariota would be the guy at two, unless you really think whatever his name is, Metzenberger's the guy. So... Yep. Let's say the Eagles offer 3 first-round picks and then maybe even a player that's a viable player. Why would Tennessee take that, though? Because if Philly ends up doing good enough like they've been doing. You get three 20th overall picks, and well, you lose your second overall pick. I don't see the big advantage to that unless the Eagles stink.
They do the conditional one where you get a first rounder with like two conditional thirds. You really don't get much value in the first anyway. You pick up your value in third and fourth. I mean, if you get a third rounder who ends up being a starter, that's worth its weight in gold. You know what I mean? But yeah. If you're picking 20th, I could probably go back 5 years and of the 20th picks, you probably have three that were a hit. You know what I mean? So
yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, well, I don't know why Tennessee would even. If Tennessee drafted out,
I would take it because I don't think Mariota's. I don't think he's a pro quarterback.
I would just trade out like three or four spots though. Khalil Mack is going to be the best linebacker in the league next year, in my opinion. Yeah. And he was like fifth pick last year or whatever. There's plenty of people like that. I agree that you don't have to keep that pick and don't go after Mariota. But my thing is like just trade out a few spots.
Well, I would take the Eagles picks, take the 20, and then trade back in by dropping one of those first to somebody else.
Yeah.
And then go back into the top 15 because Tennessee needs bodies. And it doesn't matter what position, they need them everywhere. So if you can get that first traded back in, you know, you can go back in and pick up, you know, I'd say maybe like a receiver or something like that, and then go get a project quarterback.
Plus Matt Schaub's going to be available, so I mean, yeah, he's a stud.
He's clear the answer. the Seahawks proved that you need to build teams before you pick up the quarterback.
Yeah.
If you look at the study of Seattle versus the Jets, it's a perfect situation where you see that situation. Geno Smith isn't a horrible quarterback, but you have nothing around him.
Oh, yeah, to totally.
Smack the fuck around.
Yeah.
He wouldn't win a Super Bowl, but he might win you 9 games if he had players around him.
Mm-hmm.
They would make him look better, but, you know, there's nothing there. If Russell Wilson went to the Jets, Russell Wilson would be out of the league right now.
Right, exactly. No, 100% agree.
And so, I mean, if you have the players around him, though, I mean, the dude threw 4 interceptions in the playoff game, and they make a comeback off of that, or even with that, because you have the talent around. You have the defense to stop an Aaron Rodgers. You have the special teams players to smack people around and make the plays. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was a whole team effort. Everyone's acting like Russell Wilson made this miraculous comeback, but it was a whole team effort and a meltdown by Green Bay, together that made the perfect storm. So,
yeah.
you need bodies at this point. You need bodies. It doesn't matter the name on the back of the jersey.
Yeah, there's two things. Clinton Dix needs to whack that fucking ball down when it goes to Luke Wilson on the 2-point conversion.
Yep.
And second, Wilson, the one thing Wilson's got, like I totally agree with your points, but the one thing Wilson's got that nobody is even close to his level, in my opinion, in the league is he's just fucking ice cold in the clutch.
Yeah, dude has balls.
Yeah,
that dude is when it comes to playing sports as a whole, he knows he's good and he knows what he needs to do. But that comes from preparation. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what it comes from is they all meditate as a team, which is why I'm going to root for him just for that alone.
I do have to say, too, though, why I'm so glad that Oregon lost the national championship. They were saying how they have a rule in Oregon where you don't yell at the players. You have to talk to these millennial players.
Yeah.
Well, fuck that shit. Football, you get yelled at, dude.
Yeah.
I'm glad they lost.
Urban Meyer is probably saying Mormon prayers with all his players. Anyway, let's go. Let's run through these here. So we'll run through the prop bets and we'll wrap things up. So we'll go through somewhat of a lightning round. Maybe I'll use the lightning round soundbite, too. Oh, it just went in there, in post. How many times will the announcers mention any form of the word deflate between the singing of the national anthem and the end of the game? Zero, one, two, three, or four are the options.
I would go over four.
Yeah, four or more is the least money. That's the least amount of money you get.
I would say four or more.
I'm with you. What hair color will Katy Perry have to open her first song? Brunette,
that's
blonde,
a push for
purple. I know. Blonde. The big money's on blonde, I guess. Apparently, that's odds aren't good there. Which song will Katy Perry begin her set with?
Another push.
The only reason I know him is because it's listed in front of me. Otherwise, I wouldn't even have a guess.
Yeah, another push for me.
Will Katy Perry and Lenny Kravitz kiss on the lips?
No.
Okay.
No, she's not going to risk alienating her fan base by kissing a black dude. Ain't going to happen, brother.
I was hoping.
Same way they keep white girls from doing black porn, they're not chime, Katy Perry, Kiss a Black Dude on TV.
I do love that it's a type of porn. Like the mixed exactly. race is a type of porn.
It's racial.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess you need that clarification if you're going to buy it or if you're paying for it. I guess that kind of makes sense. But
yeah, you click on it and there's some big black dude railing through it. You want to see your little white girl not getting railed by some crazy black dude. You want your money back, goddammit.
Yeah, that's a potential twofer. You might know the girl, or it might be your ex-girlfriend, or it might be your daughter or something.
There you
plus.
Go, you know? Or your neighbor, and you're like, wow, I didn't know she was into black guys.
Which product will be the first to air after the first play of the first quarter? Bud? So what commercial? Budweiser?
Skittles. I think Skittles, I know they bought in this year. I think they'll be trying to be as prominent as possible because of Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, they're not even on there. That would be... none of these is -200 though, so it's actually not that big of money. Bud, Doritos, Toyota, TurboTax, BMW, Lexus.
No, I'd say Skittles because they're making a big push with their commercial their first year.
Nice. Will Patriots head coach be caught smiling on camera during the game?
The fuck, that's a push for me. I don't even care.
It's a no is -400.
I'd say no if anything.
Yeah. Will Marshawn Lynch grab his crotch after scoring a touchdown?
Yeah, I think he will.
Yeah.
I think he'll take the fine, dude.
Oh, they're saying they're going to throw a flag if he does it.
So what? It's a 15-yard penalty. But you know what it does? It again, galvanizes the team. Because if they get behind him, that dude is a horse. He's going to be the key to them winning as far as what they have to do offensively. They have to run him until his legs fall off, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I have no choice on that one. Will the camera catch Tom Brady and Belichick hugging after the game? I guess they have to win for that to be the case.
Yeah, that would be a win, so no.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. Do we have anything else? Which song will she... stupid Katy Perry questions ruining everything. How many times will Giselle Bundchen be on TV? Over-under is 1.5.
I'd say, twice.
Twice, yeah. Will Al Michaels refer to the point spread total odds on who wins the game or any prop bet?
No, they try to stay away from the gambling stuff on the NFL.
Even fantasy stuff they stay away from.
They don't touch that. They do a quick reference, oh, someone's mad at fantasy, but they try to stay away from the gambling stuff on the NFL.
Yeah. Will it be mentioned that Pete Carroll was the last head coach of the Patriots before Belichick?
Nah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because, I mean, that was a long time ago. You know what will be mentioned though is that he could be one of two or three coaches that can win a national title and a Super Bowl,
and completely ruin a program and then leave it out to dry. Like, oh, I didn't know that Reggie Bush, you know, did that.
Well,
and
the worst part about it is actually if he wins the Super Bowl, you got to put him up there as one of the greatest coaches, like football coaches, period.
Oh yeah, totally. I actually, as much as I think he's a douche, I think he's totally underrated.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely underrated, but he comes off so cocky that you can't like him. You know what I mean? Like, he comes off so arrogant about what he's doing, you can't like him. But, I mean, the dude clearly has a way with getting young men's potential and getting them to realize their potential and working with them.
Yeah, he does. And, he does two things. He uses different philosophies, like in all seriousness, the meditation stuff.
Yeah, no.
And he also lets them be themselves. You know, they have.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Sherman was saying, and that's what I was reading an article about how Brady and Sherman are so different because Brady is calculated and has to be, and he's the corporate man, but Sherman hasn't been held to that standard, so he just says what he wants to. But they let him do it. It's like what Parcells did, you know, with LT.
Yeah.
You got certain players who just have to be themselves. You can't stifle that. And on top of that, even with Carroll, like I think he's a class act. Like when that kid who he was recruiting, the girl said he raped her or whatever. He went to jail, and he gave him a chance when he got out of jail to come try out for the Seahawks.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I mean
that
kind of stuff doesn't have to be done. And you know he didn't go to the press to tell him that. He just did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't need it. He doesn't need the good press at this point. So,
all right.
I think the dude has good intentions, but he just comes off as a dick.
I like it. So let's keep going down these parlays and we'll finish it up. Who will your boy Barack Obama pick to win the game?
Probably the Seahawks.
Yeah, I was going to say.
More black players.
I feel like it's Russell Wilson 100%.
Yeah, yeah. More black players and black quarterback.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they don't mention that about him.
Well, he's got curly hair, so.
Yeah.
I think he's legitimately half, though, right?
No, he's that's what I thought, too. He's actually black.
Oh, is he?
But I think what happened was last year, because he was playing against Kaepernick, they couldn't hype that whole black quarterback going to the Super Bowl thing because Kaepernick's family, his adoptive family, is white.
Oh, okay.
And he's mixed, so how do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They were probably in production meetings like, we don't touch this today.
Yeah, it's probably not worth
it. We don't say
Exactly. So, Punxsutawney Phil, that'll be the next day, Groundhog Day. Are you calling, he sees a shadow, so you're calling the Seahawks win. So yeah. Are you saying he sees a shadow or not on top of that?
I don't even know which one it is. Winter is like 7 more weeks.
I don't even know.
If he sees it, yeah. I don't know. Whatever one doesn't make winter longer, I'm hoping for, because then my wedding won't be.
So you're saying he does not see a shadow on the Seahawks win.
It's yeah.
Good money on that, if you bet it.
Is it really?
It's like the lowest odds of it happening. So, like, it's basically, if he sees his shadow, those are the higher odds for either side winning. If the Patriots have the highest odds of that, I guess, with them.
I don't know where you bet that shit, though.
Oh, yeah, it's just, these are all Vegas prop bets.
Yeah, you have to fly out to Vegas to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Let me get a random one towards the end here. I'm going to have to wrap things up. These are all just Seattle. Who will catch a touchdown pass if anybody does?
I'd say probably a swing pass to Marshawn Lynch.
There you go.
I don't think there's any their linebackers just aren't strong enough to cover Lynch.
I actually think Luke Wilson will be the man this game.
Yeah, he could be.
All right.
They don't have much to cover tight ends.
Cool. We'll wrap it up now. And let's see. There's got to be one more in here that I want to use. Will there be a score in the final 2 minutes of the first half?
In the final 2 minutes?
First half.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Who's going to score the last scoring play of the game? Touchdown, field goal, or safety?
I've got to go with field goal.
All right. And what's your score prediction? We'll wrap it up there.
I'd say 23-18, maybe.
23-18. I'm calling, I don't know what the number will be. Like, it'll be a weird one in the 30s. I'm going to say, like, 33. Can you get there? 21, 27?
Yeah, no, I'm going to call. Number except for one.
I'm going to call 31-24, Patriots win.
31-24 at 8. By 8?
7. That's it.
Old man. No, 31-24? Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm terrible at math right now.
It's basically 3 touchdowns, a bunch of field goals. Or 4 touchdowns, 1 field goal. Either way.
Yeah.
All right, cool, man. Well, we'll wrap things up. I'll post this up tomorrow. Be sure to check out me and Shelton at the open mics around town at some point. We're going to get together and get back at it. I think I'm starting from scratch, which kind of scares me a little bit. But anyway, we'll wrap things up. Episode 75, Howard Cross. I got to Google it now real quick. Howard Cross. Howard Cross totally was not at all freaking that number, though. Where am I getting Howard Cross from? He was the Giants, but he was not. He did play for the Bills. Oh, it's going to kill me. Doesn't have the number here. Anyway, we'll wrap things up. I'll stop friggin' looking up useless information. All right. Do I have it? Nope. Don't. Come on. Killing me. Anyway, we'll wrap things up. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We had some good numbers last week. Colin Quinn was awesome. Make sure you check out Bob Marley at Helium, heliumcomedy.com. Go to the Philadelphia link and come go check them out. 2 shows Friday, January 30th. 2 shows Saturday, January 31st. They'll probably sell out, so I'd get on it quickly. Should be a great show. And we'll see you probably in 2 weeks. So I say good day for myself and Shelton. My name's Pat. Patrick. Have a great week, and we will see you in a couple weeks.
And I watch you eat it, I still don't know why. Why I love so much. You curse my name in spite to put me to shame. Have my laundry in the streets, dirty and clean. Give it up for fame. But I still don't know why I love you so much. So cold. One day you're here, one day you're there, one day you care. It's so unfair. Sipping from your cup till it runneth over. Holy grail.
I pray to God forgives for everything that I did. Hoping to find atonement for every heart that I've broken. Believing that he condemns me for dreaming and being wealthy. As I swear to tell the truth and nothing but, please help me. Cause if death is the wages of sin, I guess I'm closest to my grave when I'm tasting her skin. Guess I ate the forbidden fruit before I knew what it was. And been doing the devil's work by making all of this love. So I offer a pound of flesh to every woman I slept with. Then left when they sought a deeper connection. Regret this, now that I see I could have prevented a lot of trust issues from jealousy and resentment. But now it's endless.
Cause we're all judges, entertainers, and we're lovers, and we're strangers. And there's nothing that can save us.
Baby, it's amazing I'm in this space with you. I just can't crack your code. One day screaming you love me loud, the next day we're so cold.
With everything that I did, hoping to find atonement for every promise I've broken. Believing that she's disgusted by all the women I fuck with. As I swear to tell the truth, baby, but please don't judge me. Cause that'll make our beautiful ugly mommy. Quick is the rush that I get when I'm touching your body. Just wanna know that if I struggle, you got me. Believing in my dreams as if nothing could stop me. Once said I was cocky, now you're trying to humble me. So do you love me, or just the things that you want from me? I know there's habits that I gotta exchange, but can't erase them, cause most come from how I was raised. You see, I got my mom's pride, dad's fear, commitment, grandmother's faith, but not a lot of conviction. So it's harder for me to believe what's out of my sight. Watching the world burn as I'm bleeding out on these mics.
Baby, it's amazing I'm in this space with you. I just can't crack your code. One day you're screaming you love me loud, the next day you're so cold. One day you're here, one day you're there, one day you're take
Wahoo, 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 wahoo.